Okay, let's get it. It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. On today's episode, an honor for a trio of former LSU baseball greats. We will also give you an update on the LSU passing game for 2020, talking to wide receivers coach Mickey Joseph. And we'll start, though, with some good news on the recruiting front. Coach O strikes again as LSU lands a four-star defensive end outside linebacker commit. Naquan Brown has pledged to the Tigers. Naquan Brown had offers from a lot of the big-name schools in college football. He's a Virginia, Beach, Virginia, four-star edge rusher. So he's listed as a edge rusher outside linebacker. He had planned to visit LSU this summer, but has committed without visiting this summer, obviously, because of the coronavirus shutdown and, of course, with in-person visits shut down through April, meaning September would be the earliest he could show up. He told 24/7 Sports, quote, "I'm going to LSU because the coaching staff showed a lot of love, stayed in touch from when they offered. I talk to them almost 2 to 3 times a week. It's like I like how their 4-3 scheme is set up, and I think I'll be a big impact on it because of my abilities coming off the edge and my quickness." So, Brown in the 247 composite is listed as the number 11 weak side defensive end in the country. 6'2", 205. This is curious for a couple of reasons. He's built very similar to Marcel Brooks, who just announced he's leaving LSU because as a 3-4 outside linebacker, kind of a tweener that didn't really fit LSU's new 4-3. But it's pretty clear LSU has sold Naquan Brown on coming off the edge here. They'll bulk him up. They'll put some size on him. Maybe look more like a Barkevious Mingo and less like a Danielle Hunter. But either way, many different ways to skin a cat to get off the edge. So for LSU now, Naquan Brown becomes the 13th commit for LSU in the class of 2021. As we mentioned, the number 11 weak side defensive end in the country, a 4-star, number 194 nationally ranked overall. Picked LSU over some big-name programs like Miami and certainly Louisville. Others like Boston College and Charlotte had been in on him as well. But there's an extensive list. Maryland out of the Big Ten, Nebraska, North Carolina, Penn State, Purdue, Rutgers, South Carolina, Tennessee, TCU, Virginia Tech. Lots of contact with those programs who had shown interest in Naquan Brown. But LSU gets their man and gets him early. What we'll continue to stress about LSU is in this class, Ed Orgeron continues to cast a wide net in the deep waters of college football recruiting. And he is pulling up marlins, man. He has gone with these 13 commits now and still just 2 from the state of Louisiana, and one of them is the punter, Peyton Todd. They have gone to California to get Rajon Davis. They've gone to Texas to get JoJo Earl. They've gone to Michigan to get the offensive lineman, Garrett Dellinger. A wide receiver out of Mississippi, Deion Smith. Quarterback out of Texas, Garrett Nussmeier. Corey Kiner, the running back out of Ohio. You get the point. LSU has gone outside of the state of Louisiana, cast a wide net, and landed some of the biggest fish in the recruiting pond. Ed Orgeron continues to prove that LSU is a national brand. They prove it again here with the commitment from Naquan Brown. Okay, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day, and glad to have you hanging out with us here. We will talk about the 2020 Tigers in just a quick second, but I got to remind you about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com, all the parts your car will ever need. And tell y'all, this website could not be easier to use. If you like to restore old cars, if you like to work on your own vehicle, RockAuto.com is a great place to start. Easy to use website when you go to Rock Auto, A-U-T-O, RockAuto.com. Pick the make. Pick the model, pick the year. You can search by the part number if you have it. I mean, let's say you're driving a Honda. Click on Honda. What year is it? Let's say it's a 2009 Civic. Boom. And then there's all the different specifications. If it's a 2.0 L4, there's all, what are you, accessories. Do you want the brake or wheel hub, cooling system? Do you want the engine, exhaust, emission? Just pick what you're looking for, and it'll keep breaking down the parts for you right there. rockauto.com, A-U-T-O, rockauto.com, all the parts your car will ever need.
When LSU takes the field, of course, they will be debuting a new look offense. I mean, fundamentally, the offense will be the same, but you're going to have a lot of new talent. No Joe Burrow, no Clyde Edwards-Helaire, no Justin Jefferson, no Thaddeus Moss. Four of your top six offensive linemen are gone. We know that. But Mickey Joseph is super confident about this group of receivers, man. Mickey Joseph, LSU's associate head coach and wide receivers coach, stopped by off the bench earlier today. And, man, they started talking about Racy McMath. And the reason this became super relevant for me anyway is because I'm bebopping around on Twitter earlier today, and Jim Nagy, who is the executive director of the Senior Bowl, earlier today had a tweet, and he was tweeting about LSU wide receiver Racy McMath. His tweet was, I'll just read it for you here directly. He said, "Under the radar name to remember for the 21 NFL draft is LSU football wide receiver Racy McMath. Hybrid wide receiver has been used in 12 personnel, some cool flash plays on 19 tape. We like him based off tool similarities to Senior Bowl alum Stephon Sullivan, who, of course, played at LSU as well." Again, it's one thing when we say it. It's one thing when the LSU coaches says it. It's another when the guy who's the executive director of the Senior Bowl, who's inviting players to his game to put on the best game, the best all-star game that every NFL team comes to and is sponsored, makes money. It's like it's another one you consider the source, and it's Jim Nagy. But that got my wheels spinning, and then I heard the guys talking to Mickey Joseph today, and he gushed about Racy McMath. Here's what Mickey Joseph said about LSU's number three wide receiver.
"The problem Racy has, that Racy plays at LSU and he plays in a stacked room, okay? Now, Racy can play in some of those other conferences, little watered-down conferences, and you know, they go where that kid can play. But no, Racy plays at LSU, plays in the SEC West, so he gets the third guy. But he's better than most first guys that they're going to take in the first round. Because Racy's big, he can run, he's strong, he's smart, and guess what he can do? He can play on every special team, and he don't mind lighting you up. You know, and that's one thing he brings to our room. Racy brings attitude to our room, but he brings work. I got to drag him at practice. I got to make him get out. Like, hey, you got to get out. This is your rep off. He's going to work his tail off. And I take my hat off to Racy because it didn't start that way for him. It started slow. He just got behind the eight ball. Then Jamar then came in, you know, but guess what he kept doing? He said, I'm going to get on special teams and I'm going to help this team win. And then I'm going to get myself in a situation where I'm going to be in this lineup. It might take to his senior year. But he's here. We're happy to have him. He's going to have a great year this year. And you're right. He can be a first or second rounder."
I hope we see him on special teams. You know, when I fell in love with Michael Clayton, he was a freshman in 01, and he made some freakish catches. But that was Josh Reed's year. Make no mistake. When Reed won the Biletnikoff. But I still have the vision of the LSU-Auburn game. They got moved to December, and Michael Clayton flying downfield with his hair on fire, splitting some cat from Auburn in half on special teams. Remember that? Maybe my favorite LSU football player of all time, not just by position, my favorite LSU football player of all time, Jarvis Landry's on the short list. As great a receiver as he was, I love the fact that he would annihilate, five-star wide receiver, annihilating dudes on special teams. And here you have Mickey Joseph saying the same thing that Racy McMath is willing to do, which is awesome. That'll certainly get him on an NFL roster. But one of the really interesting conversations when you start to dissect LSU's passing game for 2020 and what it might look like. You know, you lose Justin Jefferson, 111 catches, 1,540 yards, 18 touchdowns. The other two receivers you lose are Derek Dillon, 15 for 202 and two scores, and Stephon Sullivan, 12 catches, 130 yards. In all, just a receiver. I'm not talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm not talking about Thaddeus Moss. I'm just talking about the receivers that you lose. 138 receptions, 1,872 yards, and 20 touchdowns. Even if Jamar sees his production drop because teams shade to his side and double team him, that's going to open up the opportunities for Terrace Marshall and obviously for Racy McMath. The other thing that was astonishing was listening to Mickey Joseph talk about Arik Gilbert and how big of a matchup problem he is and is going to be for opposing defenses this year.
he's a matchup problem. If you got him to the left and you got Jamar to the right, you got to pick your poison. You know, you got who you want to guard, who you want to give the attention to, and I'm sure they're going to give it to Jamar. So this kid's going to be great because this kid's going to get probably the third or fourth best cover guy on each team because Terrence is going to get the second best cover guy. Gracie might get the third. This kid's going to get the fourth and help that kid because guess what? If he gets the fourth cover guy, game's over now. He's going to take over.
When you're talking about the highest graded tight end in the history of 24/7 sports, stepping on the field and matching up with the opponent's fourth best cover option, all of a sudden you start to, like, there are things that start to fire in your brain when you think about what this offense is going to look like. And yes, I have as many questions as anybody does about what's Miles Brennan going to look like with a minute 38 to go in the swamp, down two. And you got to have it. Saw Joe Burrow try to do that a couple of years ago. And he threw a couple picks late in the fourth quarter of that game. What does Brennan do in those spots? But the other thing I can think of is, man, you keep Brennan upright, and all of a sudden you got your fourth best guy on Arik Gilbert, your third best guy on Racy McMath, a guy who Jim Nagy at the Senior Bowl is gushing over. Man, all of a sudden you could look at that passing offense and go, whatever expectation people have of this passing offense carrying over from a year ago feels very realistic. And what's more, the way that they've recruited at that position, not only are you looking at Jamar Chase, Terrace Marshall, Racy McMath, but you got a consensus five-star in Kayshon Boutte coming in along with Coy Moore and Alex Adams. And you've also got Trey Palmer, who the coaching staff loves, Jerre Jenkins, and Jontre Kirkland. You have no shortage of options at that position. All of a sudden, for a guy who a couple of years ago was screaming red-faced for anybody who would try to ask me about receivers because I was so sick of hearing the conversation every year, admittedly, this is a hell of a lot of fun thinking about what this is going to look like this year, even without Justin Jefferson. ESPN.com did a feature where they asked fans to vote on the greatest college baseball team of all times. Not team, but players individually. So the players that would make up the greatest college baseball team of all time. And as you might anticipate, LSU was pretty well represented on the list. In all, there were three LSU Tigers that made the list. Ben McDonald made the list as a starting right-handed pitcher. And Alex Bregman made the list as starting shortstop. And Todd Walker made the list as the starting second baseman. So the middle infield was LSU. First of all, I think all are deserving. Todd Walker, most certainly of the three, I think, is the most deserving. Ben McDonald won the Golden Spikes Award in 1989, became the first overall pick in the draft. I think Ben, with his current role in college baseball, it certainly helps having kept him in the forefront. Please don't misunderstand me. There was a reason Ben McDonald was the number one pick in the draft. Ben McDonald had over 200 strikeouts in his final season at LSU, 202, which was a SEC single season record at the time, and he was spectacular. In my opinion, there are two guys that I would have liked to have seen on this list. One is Eddie Furness, and two is Aaron Nola. I think Aaron Nola, in the history of LSU baseball right now, in my opinion, is probably the most underappreciated megastar that LSU has ever had. And I'm not saying that because he went to Cali High, and I'm not saying that because he's off to a really good start in his pro career. I think we forget how dominant Aaron Nola was for 3 years in Baton Rouge, in particular his sophomore and junior seasons, where he became the only pitcher ever to be named SEC Pitcher of the Year twice. Only one ever, and he was National Pitcher of the Year his junior year. The unfortunate thing for Aaron is that he didn't win a national championship. Same with Alex Bregman. I think Alex, who was spectacular in his time in Baton Rouge, also benefits from the name recognition that he has, having started on fire to his pro career. That helps in this vote. Eddie Furness not being on this list, I think, is very unfortunate. Will Clark was named the first baseman of this all-time college baseball team. And the 85 Mississippi State team is the one with Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro and Jeff Brantley and Bobby Thigpen. They were great. They went to Omaha and they did not win it. But you know, Will Clark had a fantastic year, and he was also the Golden Spikes Award winner. But when you look at the voting results at first base, Will Clark was first, Frank Thomas was second, then Lance Berkman, Andrew Vaughn, Dustin Ackley, Dave Magadan, Tim Wallach, and then Eddie Furness way down there at the bottom. That's criminal. Eddie Furness, and the problem is people know the name Will Clark. People, of course, know Frank Thomas. Lance Berkman, who had a long major league career. Andrew Vaughn, who's a more recent player as well. The problem that Eddie Furness runs into there is that Furness did not have a long or distinguished pro career, and it has been more than 20 years since he played. So a lot of people have forgotten Eddie Furness, especially young people who might have voted. Eddie Furness was a two-time All-American. He was a two-time national champion. Went to Omaha back-to-back-to-back years in 96, 97, 98. He's the NCAA's all-time career home run leader. When he finished his career, he led the SEC in hits, homers, doubles, RBI, total bases. He won the Dick Houser Award as the National Player of the Year, and he finished his career with a 371 batting average as a four-year contributor and a three-year starter at first base. Eddie Furness absolutely should be that guy at first base. And you'll say, well, that means Eddie Furness, that LSU would have the first, second, and shortstop on this team. Okay, the guy I'd take off would be Bregman. And I think Bregman had a magnificent is a magnificent player, obviously, of all of them. Yeah, I think he's the best baseball player of all of them. But when you're looking at college career, Eddie Furness's college career was among the greatest ever, and it was better than Will Clark's college career. All respect to Will Clark, who is a magnificent player. One of the things that's difficult about an exercise like this is you feel like in order to praise someone, you have to minimize someone else's spectacular career. It's like debating who's the hottest supermodel. Like, you're going to make me choose which super gorgeous person is the least pretty of the super gorgeous people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, maybe it's to each their own in the eye of the beholder, but in my opinion, I don't think there's any doubt that the of this whole thing, the biggest disappointment is not only that Eddie Furness wasn't the winner of the best first baseman of all time, but the fact that he was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th on this list. Anyway, but congrats to Ben McDonald. Congrats to Todd Walker. Congrats to Alex Bregman on their recognition. Certainly well-deserved, but the guy left off that should be on there, absolutely, is Eddie Furness. And, by the way, the next baseball player that should have his jersey retired, I'll continue to stump for this, is Aaron Nola, his 10. Aaron Nola is still criminally undervalued because the biggest compliment that you could pay Aaron Nola is there were so many times that opposing coaches would hold their ace to the second game of a series and essentially concede Friday night to Aaron Nola because he was that automatic. They say, eh, we'll just throw our ace against your two because we think we got a better chance of winning it. We'll see if we can win the third game. Aaron Nola's 10. That needs to be the next one retired.
All right, that's going to do it for a Thursday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. I'm glad to have you hanging out with us here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you've not done so yet. Brought to you by rockauto.com. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Check them out. Be sure to let them know you heard about it here on the Locked On LSU podcast. Have an awesome 4th of July. We'll see you Monday for Locked On LSU, your team every day.